morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning worship service, and I believe we're going to have a call to worship. You would please stand with us.
Which one is that?
Beautiful Light. Or you want to do something?
Hey, Rex, we need you for this first song to help us lead, please. Don't give me that look. Come on. What key is it?
Beautiful C.
We're going to do page 117, A Beautiful Life. And
Okay, if you'll remain standing, we'll have our opening military and first responder prayer.
Good place to be this morning.
Amen.
Any military, first responders, anybody want to lift up this morning?
Nathan Stepp and Evan Redhouse. Alan Thomas, Harris Dirk, Jeff Smith, Frank Dunkel, Johnny Cole, Todd Cole, all medical staff, all volunteer firefighters.
Mike and Tom Anderson is Tom Redhouse.
Benjamin Ashley.
Dear Heavenly Father, lift up each and one of these service and first responders, police, guide them in the right direction. Only you know what they need. Guide each one of them in a safe manner. Help them throughout the week. All in God's name, amen.
Amen.
And Ms. Moxie's agreed to lead us in the Lord's Prayer this morning. Song for us?
We do. We're going to, and this is in B flat, and you see, is what my paper says. Just a little talk, 199. Mm-hmm. What, you want to do it in? Mm-hmm. Where you want to do it in? That's fine. Yeah. Good words written, that way Dad can sing bass.
Okay.
What key?
It is B flat in the book.
Oh.
But it's B flat. What you got?
199. Yeah.
I hope that's got the blood pumping now, everybody.
You know, you got one more.
And the Holy Spirit flow.
How about that bass singer? He sounds good up here, don't he? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Everybody awake today? Yes? No? Maybe not at all. So who had a good Thanksgiving? Everybody? Can you all name some things you were thankful for? What? Now I'm going to start calling on people. How about that? That'll get you to talk. What are you thankful for? While I'm getting ready here, getting my tape on, what's something you're thankful for? Your mommy? What else? Anybody? Everybody else in the family? Your mom's special though, right? All right. So today, well, technically, starting next Sunday is Advent. Who knows what Advent is? Anybody? It's a word we don't hear very often. Well, I'll tell you, then we'll take a quiz later. How about that? No, I won't quiz you. I'm just kidding. Sorry about that. All right, so Advent is just a special time we have to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made and to repent. Who knows what repentance is? That's a big word, too. Well, it means to ask forgiveness for our sins. And it's also a time to look forward to Jesus' return. So, let's see here. That's the wrong word. All right. So, I have a couple verses here. Anyone want to read for me? No? I got a definite no down there. I won't make you read then. Yes, you can read, Miss Liberty. Anybody else? Nobody? Let's see here. Sorry about that. Let's switch sides here. They don't want to see me, they want to see you.
Which verse?
All right, it is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 is the first one.
The people walking in darkness have never seen a great light. On those living in the land of shadow and death, a light is dawned.
Thank you. Now the next one is verses 6 and 7.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From the time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Good job.
So there's some commentary in this Bible as well that I want to read to you all too. Let's see here. It might explain it a little bit better for you. So it says, in our gloom and despair, hang on, I lost my spot. In our gloom and despair, we fear that our sorrows and troubles will never end. Anybody ever feel like your sadness will never be over? I think you all are asleep today. Yeah, too much turkey. All right, but we can take comfort in this certainty. Although the Lord may not always take us around our troubles, if we follow him wholeheartedly, he will lead us safely through them. Amen. So we can, let's see here. Now our word, somewhere is our word. Our word for today is hope. So this is the first day of Advent, and we have a purple candle here. And you'll light up. And I have a few things that need stuck up on the wall for me. Who wants to help me with that? Oh, I got a lot more hands there. All right. You three, come on up. There's that one. Will you stick that up on the wall for me, please? And my candle's the next one. Thank you. And let's see here. Miss Moxie. Losing my roll of tape. All right, you stick this one up for me, please. I'll get you next, mister. Okay? He's ready. Stick that up on the other side of that candle, please. As close as you can get. He's all right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That is perfect. Oh, I'm not ready yet. Hang on. He's a little eager. Yes. Give me a second here. Stick that one up there, close to it. Please, sir. Thank you. All right, let's all get up here and hold hands. We'll have a prayer. Now, I don't think your mommy would like it if I let you have the tape roll.
To remember this in the future as well.
Yes, Lord.
And Morning. Anybody else? Don't take a whipping. Again, I just, Denise and I, I'd like to thank you for all the cards and gifts. We love you and appreciate you. Thanks again. I'd like for you to mark in your Bible 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Find that and mark it, because we'll end up going there. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And once you've done that, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 16. And then once you mark that, Hebrews chapter 10. You pray for me this morning. Anybody else have anything before we begin? Let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. And each and every day, Lord, should be a Thanksgiving day because of what you've done for us. We look back over this past week and we thank you for family and friends that we've been able to be with and to love, and for them to love us. We thank you for the blessings each and every day that you give us, and over this past week, the blessings that we have received through family and friends, and the times that we've been able to step out of this busy world and to come together. And so, Father, again, we thank you for this day that you've given us, for the songs and testimonies, for the children's moment. And Lord, I ask for your words here this morning. And most of all, Lord, if there's maybe some here this morning or those listening outside the church, that this might be the very day that, Father, they come and can accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. And these things I ask and pray in Jesus' name, and amen. In Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to talk this morning about living out our faith. You may not be aware of what that would mean. And I had 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and 13, 13 and 14, the verses marked, and I was praying and reading through some things, and I found this in Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, I'll read you a few verses here, then we'll get over into 16, chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. But up in the 26th verse, down through the end of that chapter, talks about the just shall live by faith. Now I'm going to read you verse 35 in Hebrews chapter 10, and then you'll see where I want to go with this. Therefore do not cast away your confidence. Now, sometimes our confidence can fade a little bit, right? We have things going on, we see things, we're involved in things, and so sometimes our confidence can waver, okay? But he says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, that you may receive the promise. I'm going to read that promise in a minute. But you know, in these days, Christians were persecuted a lot. Amen? We think somebody looks at us cross-eyed because we present the gospel and, oh, we're persecuted. These people knew what persecution was. And, you know, there was a, listen, that sometimes I figure they wanted to step back. They didn't want to be as faithful as they wanted to be because they knew that might bring them some problems. And so he's saying here, you keep this confidence, which has a great reward. Hey, listen, the great reward that you and I have is one day stepping into heaven. to being with Jesus Christ. Through everything that we go through here, we have to keep in mind that there is this great reward. And listen, we're not living a Christian life for a reward, okay? You see what I'm saying? We're living a Christian life because God saved us. Amen. And I'm thankful for what He's done. The reward is that because we have placed our faith and trust in Him, one day we'll be with Him in heaven. Right? He says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God. We talked about that in Bible study the other night. What is the will of God? Hey, the will of God is the great commandment, or the great commission. That we go out and we present to the world the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he did in saving us and how He has affected our life. That's what we are to do. And He says, so after you have done the will of God, that you may receive the promise. Well, the promise is eternal life, right? Now watch, because these are the verses I wanted to get to. He tells them, again, he's saying, hang in there. Hang in there, there's this great reward. He says, for yet a little while, and He who is coming will come and will not tarry. Listen, the Lord is going to come.
Amen.
We don't know the time. People can try to give you the time and all the things that are going on in the world and point to His return. Hey, listen, He could come for you and I at any time. And if He doesn't come, in the meantime, we're one heartbeat away from meeting Him. Now watch this. He says, for yet a little while, and He who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now watch this. Now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now catch what He says. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back into perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Now listen, there's times that maybe we get downtrodden. Maybe we have a tough spiritual walk sometimes. If we're not careful, Satan can get us to want to draw back, to not be doing the will of God. And if Satan convinces me that I need to draw back, then am I going to be doing the will of God? No, I won't. Now, I said to, now the just shall live by faith. I wanted to talk to you about living out our faith, right? Well, look in verse 11. Talks about the faith we understand. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. Listen, he's saying this. When we exercise our faith, think about this. Exercising our faith is having expectation without a visible proof that it will happen. Let me read this definition again of exercising our faith. Having confidence about an expectation without visible proof that it will happen. And in this chapter, he goes to these great cloud of witnesses. And they acted on behalf, they acted out what they believed. In other words, they lived out their faith. That's why they're listed in chapter 11. They lived out their faith. Now, our faith is not measured by the steps that we take. It's measured by our actions. Did you catch that? Faith is measured by the steps, is measured by the steps as one's foot, not feelings either. Your faith is based on what you do, your actions. It's not based on your feelings. Now we got all that, right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. How do you and I live out this faith? How do you and I live out this faith? Well, let's look at some things first. Ask yourself this question. Do I have an ineffective faith or an effective faith? Going to find out what they are. Ineffective faith. Now you bear with me because I want to take my time so we get this. Ineffective faith is marked by these things. And ask yourself, do I sometimes have ineffective faith? Here's the first one. Lack of trust in God. Has there ever been a time where you lacked trust in God? It's one of the marks of ineffective faith. A lack of trust in God. Here's another one. An unchanged life. There are a lot of people that say they have accepted Jesus Christ. They attend church. It's not for me to judge this. But yet their lives are unchanged. From what you see in them living out their faith, it's as if there has been no change. That's part of an ineffective faith. Lack of endurance. Well, the first time things don't go my way, the first time things get tough, then I step back. I'm not in church as much as I should. I don't pray as much as I should. Things get a little bit tough. I don't have the endurance to hang in there spiritually. Here's another one. Ineffective faith. Marked by that it seldom goes beyond words. A lot of people talk good. A lot of people can speak well spiritually. They can throw out all the amens, the hallelujahs. They can be at every service and they can act. They can put on this mask of spirituality. But listen, it's only words. Jesus confronted the Pharisees and Sadducees about that. You go back and look at it sometime in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says to these Corinthians, he says, listen, a lot of you are puffed up. Paul told them to imitate him. Not him as a man, but imitate him through what Christ had taught him. He says, listen, I've got this from Jesus Christ. This is how you should act. Spiritually, the way I'm trying to tell you that Christ tells us to act spiritually, and some were just doing it verbally instead of through their actions. They weren't living out their faith. All right? Ineffective faith. Now, the opposite of those is effective faith. If you have effective faith, then you're dependent on God. I depend on Him this morning. Hey, listen, there's times I might have had some doubts. I might have stepped back a little bit in my life. But when it comes down to it, I depend on God. Yeah. I know you do. Depending on God. A total dependence on Him. A willingness to do His will. That's effective faith. You're resting on what Christ has done. Hey, listen, He's done it all. It's up to you now. Effective faith becomes stronger under pressure. We talk about this several times in Bible study. And, you know, listen, you're going to be tested. I've mentioned that a bunch up here. It just seems to keep being a revolving thing. But, you know, in your life, you're going to have some tests. They may be tests of, how do I say this? If it's me that's under pressure, that's easier than if my family's under pressure. See what I'm saying? You learn that as you get kids. You learn that as you have grandkids. You get to a point where you think, you know, it's really not that big a deal what happens to me. But man, if it's one of my kids, one of my grandkids, that's where the test really comes in your faith. An effective faith is going to hold up through that pressure. Now, I say all that to get to this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in Paul's final exhortations here, the question is, how do we live out our faith? I've told you what faith is, an ineffective faith and an effective faith. Now, how do we live that out? Well, he gives us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Look at what he says here. Watch. These are pretty plain. I'm pretty simple. These are pretty plain. He says, watch. You know, it seems like we have seen a continual drift away from God's word. Decisions that our government makes, decisions that that different organizations make, decisions that individuals make. It seems that they're all made away from God's word. Listen, you and I need to be on guard. Spiritually, we need to be on guard. If you and I, I'll put it to you this way, we need to be living aware. We need to be living aware of what's going on around me. Some of you have hunted this week. Hey, listen, once you hit those woods, once you hit your stand, how much more awareness do you seem to have? You're watching, and you're looking, and you're listening, and you're trying to not be taken a... Listen, you're trying not to let a deer sneak by you. You're not trying to let him slip by you. Listen, we should be that way spiritually. Being aware. Staying, think of this, spiritually awake. How spiritually awake are you? Had this conversation with some different people over the past few months. The question came up, well, how did our country get this way? Everybody point fingers. Hey, listen, I believe it got this way because of us. Because of Christians being spiritually asleep, letting things slip in here and slip in there, not being aware of what's going on around us, not being aware of what's behind the scenes that's going on until all of a sudden it's like a snare. We're caught up in it and we think, well, what happened? So he says, you watch. Look at the next one. Stand fast in that faith. You and I stand firm. We don't compromise biblical beliefs. We don't compromise God's word so that we can get along with what the world thinks. Hey, listen, I couldn't be in the school system right now. From the things I hear and the things I've seen in the country, I couldn't do that right now. Because a lot of things would be against my biblical beliefs. I couldn't do that. I couldn't acknowledge what's going on. Just not there. It's all over. But he says we need to stand fast. Don't wavering. You ever think that a lot of Christians forget what the truth looks like? Because you know, if you keep getting hammered with something, you keep getting hammered with a certain philosophy, a certain ideology over and over and over, if you're not careful, pretty soon you'll start to believe some of that. Well, I mean, think about all those things. Well, it's okay if she wants to refer to herself as a cat. Well... if she does and that's up to her, fine. Fine. You have that right to do that. But don't tell me I'm wrong if I don't believe that based on what God's word says. See, we just kind of get milquetoasty and say, okay, I don't want to. No. That's why I couldn't teach. I'd have a hard time going into a bathroom that has a litter box. I would have a hard time letting my daughter go into a restroom and some guy that wants to go in there and use the bathroom or the locker room for gym. I couldn't take that. I would have to say, that's wrong. Stand fast. Here's the thing, and I found this in a devotional. Man, it hits it. Every person must decide who or what will be the authority in his or her life. You don't get anything else out of this morning. You listen to this statement. Every person must decide who or what will be the authority in his or her life. Listen, that means you're going to have to decide. Is Jesus Christ and his word here going to be the authority, or is it going to be some nutcase out here that is totally off the wall? Yeah, I preach it like it is. That's just me. They could say I'm a nutcase, but you know, there's a lot of nutcases out there, isn't there? Now, here's the thing you got to keep in mind. They have not come to the truth that we know. I can say, well, I don't know how they've done this, or why would they think that way? They don't know no better. Amen. They don't know any better. They didn't have the family you had, the church family you had. You know what I'm saying? They don't have each other like we have each other. They don't have the Lord. That's what it comes down to. They don't have the Lord. Hey, people probably still say, at one time, I didn't have a lick of sense. Don't you say anything. But I thought all the religion and spiritual stuff was not for me. Did you ever think you knew it all when you were 15 or 16? I did. But you know what? As I've gotten older, the people that were around me that had sense, they make more sense now. A lot more sense now than they did then, amen? I guess that's part of maturity. Watch, stand up, stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be brave, be strong. Listen, just because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior doesn't mean you're a pushover. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you don't stand up for yourself. Hey, listen, we need to have strength, right? We need to have strength so that when we see something's not right, that we speak up, and it's based on God's word. I'm not saying be violent, like where somebody in the name of Christ goes and blows up an abortion clinic. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying to you is to toughen up, to strengthen up, not based on our power, but on the power of Jesus Christ. Think about that. When something's wrong and God's Spirit calls you to step up, to stand firm, He will give you the power through His Holy Spirit to do that and to say what you need to say. And then after that, it's on them. Get what I'm saying? It's on them. If I've got somebody in my family or friends or somebody and they're... Listen, we talked about a lot of stuff during the past few Bible studies, but if they're off here in left field somewhere, listen, spiritually speaking, I should try to draw them back into where they need to be. Especially if they've drawn back. If they've drawn back from what they know the truth is to be, I'm accountable to try to help them. Now, if it's somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ, then they're already in bad shape. That's where the will of God comes in. That I try to help them. But here's the thing. Once I've done that, it's on them. Every Sunday, we have an altar call. And when there's an altar call up here, when you're up front, you see a lot of different expressions on people's faces. And I don't know how the Spirit is working on you, but here's the thing I do know. If God's word through me or through a testimony or through a song has touched your heart to do something and you don't do that, that's not on me or anybody else. That's on you. That's on you. Because we've done our part. Now, here's the thing. We want to live out our faith, right? So he says that you watch, excuse me, you stand fast in the faith, be brave and strong. Let all that you do be done with what? Love. 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 I may get aggravated, if I was still teaching school, I may get aggravated over it, and I may confront them on this, and they may say, well, why you question me on this? This is the one thing I'd want them to know. I tell you this because I love you in the Lord. Amen. You may not like what I'm saying. The world may not like the stand that you take. They may not like that you're watching and confronting these things that are going on. But listen, he says it all here. Let all this be done in love. Amen. You can't do it out of hate and vengeance. Madness, being aggravated. Do we get that way? Sure. Sure. I had 3 boys. Don't you think I didn't kick them in the hind end if they needed it? But here's the thing. They may have not known it then, but I did it because I loved them. I didn't like it when my dad jerked me up by the shirt collar and told me, you act right. But I can tell you something. He did it because he loved me. When I had people say, you ought to go to church Sunday. You know, we're going to church Sunday. You ought to come. Well, you should aggravate me. I thought, would you just lay off me? But you know what? They did it because they love me. It's all in everything that I have brought to you through the Lord this morning. It should be done out of love. And if we go because we feel that we're some type of righteous judge and we're just going to put the hammer on them and they're not doing right and all, listen, be careful. Be careful. You're liable to find yourself in the same situation. Let me ask you a question. You can raise your hand on this one. Anybody perfect? Anybody in here perfect? That's what I thought. Anybody in here a sinner saved by grace? Amen. We're all that way, right? And so, when you look at this, everything that we do in love, that's His will. That out of love, we tell people what God has done for us. Now, let me tell you something. This, I'm speaking purely for me. Sometimes that's hard for me to do. Because feelings of self get in the way. Sometimes it's hard for me to tell somebody about Christ. I'm telling on myself because I'm afraid I might make them mad. I used to get that way. Now I'm getting better at it because I put that behind me. But ask yourself this question. Has there ever been anybody that God has put on your heart to speak to about Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel, but yet there was something that held you back from that? See, I know somebody that doesn't hold back from any of that. It don't matter if it's the Pope to the President to the dog catcher. He's wanting to know if you're saved. And there's no thoughts about this guy is liable to get mad. He's liable to not like me. He's liable to do this or that. That don't even enter that thought process. That thought process is, hey, I don't want you to go to the bad place. Amen. That's the innocence, the purity that you and I need to have. Let's pray. Lord, help us to live out our faith. And with the way the world is, sometimes that gets hard because we have an adversary. But Father, we're thankful that we have you as our advocate, who, Father, has a restraining order against Satan and what he can do to us. We thank you for this day that you've given us. Help each one here to live out their faith. Now, Father, there may be some here in the church or outside the church that their faith is not in you. Their faith might be in self. Their faith might be in finances. Their faith might be in friends. Their faith is in the things of the world. I pray that your Holy Spirit has spoken to them today, that they can place their faith and trust in you. And these things I ask and pray in Jesus' name and amen. We'll have an altar call, and if you have a need, you come. You might say, well, preacher, I need help living out my faith. Then you come and pray. Maybe this morning you don't know him.
Page 51.
Maybe your faith is in the things of the world. You come and place your faith and trust in him. One of these days,